Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. It has been said that attitude is everything, but what creates an attitude in a human being? Pastor John has been casting out demons for 40 years and initially thought that would end the problem for a person. But eventually he realized that even though the demons were gone, a wounded soul will still negatively affect the attitude and thoughts of a person. Damage to the soul can occur in the womb and throughout your life. Pastor John addresses the resulting harmful manifestations and the biblical solution to healing your emotional wounds and traumas. Once you have diagnosed the damages and your soul is restored, you will have a more abundant life and your attitude will be great. Praise the Lord! This message is entitled, Wounds That Hurt Your Soul. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on March 13th, 2011. And today I'm going to be preaching a very special message, Wounds That Hurt Your Soul. We're going to pray, and I'm going to use a prayer that is written. I got this beautiful card that came in the mail this week from Norma Tompkinson in Bay City, Michigan. And she's a licensed minister with us, and I had the delight to be in Michigan about 16 years ago for a week of meetings. And she wrote a prayer that I believe is absolutely marvelous. I'd like to read that as part of our prayer this morning. Would you stand with me? Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my vessel shall be filled to overflowing, that my light shall shine forth your glory to others today. Let me always come to your fountain of love, power, and a sound mind. For only through the oil of your Holy Spirit shall the blessings flow. What's therefore? Lord, fill my vessel every day, that I will be ready. Let me not sleep, but be ready when the hour has come. Only your light and the oil of the Holy Spirit will light my way. My Heavenly Father, we agree with that prayer that Norma wrote some time ago. And Father God, if ever was a time when we needed you to fill our vessels, today is that time. And I ask you, Father God, that you will open the minds of us here today, that people will be able to understand. Anoint me, Lord, and also anoint everyone listening, Father, so that together we can learn from your word. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, this is the message today that I really want you to think deeply, because all of us have been affected by wounds that hurt your soul. Now, when a human being is conceived, God would add the soul and the dead spirit to the physical body at the moment of conception. The newly created cell contains a complete blueprint for the body to be developed. Now, King David did not know about DNA, but he knew that all the members were written down by God. Let's read Psalm 139, verse number 13. For you have possessed my reins, You had covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I don't know how much chemistry you have, or biology, or mathematics. But you all heard about DNA. And DNA can be likened to a chain. There are two chains, one for the mother, one for the dad. And when they come together, they form a blueprint. It's made of protein. And here we have a living organism that simply has a code in it. So when a sperm enters the egg of a woman and closes up, this code begins to work. And so the cells divide themselves up. Eyeballs, brains, kidneys, bones, nails, hair. It's absolutely fascinating if you think about it. This is how great our God is, to design it like that. Now, David lived almost 3,000 years ago. They did not know about electricity. Computers did not even exist in their minds. And yet God spoke to David and said, your members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, but yet there was none of them. They were written in a book. David called it a book. Today we call it DNA. We can see it through our microscopes. God spoke and said how it was 3,000 years ago. When a soul is created, we have not existed before. But when the soul has been created, the soul is not created as a baby. There are no baby souls. The soul of a child is fully, completely developed at the moment of that creation. But the soul cannot express itself through the child because the brain is not developed properly. There are a number of things that has to take place. The soul belongs to the spirit world, and it will never cease to exist once it is created. It will live forever in a lake of fire in heaven with God. Turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we pick it up in verse number 7. That's Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When you hold that little baby in your arms, you are holding a soul completely developed but unable to express itself. But the soul, as it is in the mother's womb, will hear what the mother speaks. The soul of a little baby will pick up from the very moment of conception things that are happening around them. If there's harmony in the house, the soul will be at peace. If there's discord, the soul will be troubled. Turn to Matthew 10, 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. This is what Jesus said. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. No human being can kill a soul. We can kill a person by taking his body away, but no one can touch your soul. And the question is, where is your soul going to end up? In Revelation chapter 20, we find the answer from the Bible. That's Revelation, the 20th chapter. And we pick it up here in verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in their books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What is the soul? The soul is like a hard drive on a computer. Fully developed, ready to be used, but there's no information on it. When God creates a soul, he puts a software program into the soul, which consists of the future character of the person and the ability to express joy, happiness, grief, sorrow. This is the emotional program. But there are also personality traits created like being a caring person, having patience, a desire to learn, a need to get along with others, and yearning to know God. Your soul is you. Now, let me try to illustrate that to you. I'm sure you've seen people that have diabetes, and they amputate one or two legs. That does not change their soul. They lost part of their body. I'm sure you have seen people that have been, had an accident, and they are paralyzed from the neck and down. The body below the neck is useless. Does not affect the soul. The soul simply is living inside a vehicle. This is a vehicle. What you see here today is my vehicle. I'm moving around up here, but inside my body is a soul. That's me. My memory, my personality, everything that is me is in my soul. When you leave your car outside here today, you turn off the key, the engine died, and your car is absolutely silent. It has no personality. If you look at your car, it is not good, it is not bad, it is nothing. They all stand sitting outside here with no personality. The moment you enter your car, you turn on the key, that car will get your personality. If you're a reckless driver, it will be a reckless car. If you're a fast speeding one, you will have a speeding car. If you're a careful driver, it will be a careful driving car. Your car is expressed, will express you. Now, God also implants gifts in the soul, like music, painting artwork, understanding mathematics, chemistry, physics. And he also has physical skills as they work in wood, metal, and other substances. Turn to Exodus chapter 31. That's the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter. Every gift that you have was laid down in your soul at the time of conception. That's Exodus 31, the first 6 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I give him with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted. I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded you. I want you to think for a moment. You have certain gifts that you did not learn. There are certain talents in you that you did not learn. They are natural. These are gifts from God. You take a look at a painting we have here to my left, your right. That was painted by Bill Offenbach. That it's a painting actually from Europe, Two Apostles and Jesus. Now, I can paint the wall around it. Give me a roll, I can paint the wall. But if you ask me to copy that and paint that, I cannot do that. I mean, when I draw, you know, it just, you know, scratch. But that is an ability, that's a gift. Now, you can go to art school. You can learn certain things. You can have hands upon your gift. But if you got a gift of playing a musical instrument, it comes natural. You can learn to play it by learning to read the notes and stuff like this and work hard at it. But there are some people who have a given talent. It just flows out of them. That's a gift that God has put in your soul. Some of people have more than one gift. What you should do is this, that if you have a child that has a talent for music, you don't say to that child, we're going to train you to be a carpenter. Or if you have somebody that really is skilled in woodwork, we don't give them a harp and say, now, you're going to learn and practice, boy, you're going to be good. They don't have it. We can learn certain things. We learn mathematics and we learn how to read and so on. But every one of us has a certain skill that when you move in that, it just flows. It is a gift from God. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Most people never have a chance to develop their skills because people do not recognize it. They don't care. The soul is very sensitive. I don't care if you say, well, I'm a rough, tough guy. Forget it. You might be rough and tough, but your soul is extremely sensitive and bruises very easy. Now, the soul, if it is hurt, there'll be a wound. And when your soul is wounded, the soul would create electrical energy. that will simply mess up your immune system. I don't care how tough you are. You will get sick. And it will create spiritual and physical problems. The spiritual disturbance will create mental blocks. Turn to Romans chapter 7, verse number 15. That's Romans 7, verse number 15. And this is what Paul says. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which is I would not, I consent to the law that is it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Let me read it again. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see not a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Or wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God for Jesus Christ the Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. Let me take each one of you back now to the age of about 8 or 9 years old. I would say that probably each one of you had wounds as a baby, as an unborn child, as a young child. And as you grew older, rebellion set in. Rebellion against what you have been taught. Rebellion against your parents. Rebellion against authority. And you made a number of decisions that were based upon wounds in your soul. And you did not know that. You just reacted. Because you see, if you were raised in a Christian home, if you would have been raised in a Christian home, and if they have known the Bible, and if they would have walked right, you wouldn't have that problem. But most parents do not know what to do. They were wounded themselves. And disturbances create sicknesses. Now, when you got married, remember the years, the first years? And some of your marriages didn't last. Others lasted, but you know, there was violent upheaval, there was all problems and so on. And you didn't know what to do, so there was anger. You just bulldozed yourself through it, not realizing that my soul is wounded and I'm like a bear. Angry, but I don't know why I'm angry. I'm just angry. Turn to Proverbs 15:13. It's Proverbs 15. And look upon these verses. These are powerful verses. Proverbs 15, verse number 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. When the Bible talks about the heart, it talks about the soul. A merry soul makes a cheerful countenance. that by sorrow of the soul, the spirit is broken. You take a child that's been abused, and you got a broken spirit. And when that child grows up, you will have a violent man or violent woman. Because there's anger. Proverbs 17, 22. It's Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart is good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry soul does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, this was written 3,000 years ago. So you ask, what about the bones? Well, the bones contain your blood marrow. That's what you have in your bones. And the marrow, blood marrow, bone marrow, that's part of your immune system. And the immune system will keep us healthy, destroys attacks of bacteria and viruses. And the Bible says here that if you have a happy soul, it's like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the marrow, dries the bones up, and that's why people are sick. Watch the news at night from 5 to 7 and look at the advertisements. I would say 80% is medication. Buy this pill, drink this thing, take this, take that, take this, you know, for functioning, this and that. People are sick. And they take all kind of drugs to have a remedy. The problem is the soul is disturbed. And a sick soul will make a body sick. Let me read what I wrote here. From the time of conception, the soul will hear everything that's going on around his mother's body. The soul will also register every emotion the mother is experiencing during pregnancy. So if the mother and father speak negatively about the baby, it will create a wound in the soul and develop a strong emotion of rejection. Any trauma happening to the mother will affect the soul of the baby. I want you to think about that. Now, I know this in my personal life, that my mom was only 18 years old when she got pregnant. She wasn't married. And I'm born out of wedlock. Actually, that was conceived out of wedlock. They married quickly. And I can just imagine my mom as an 18-year-old young girl, teenager. What would she tell her mom? Mom, I got pregnant. This is back in 1939. This is when morality was high. What did my dad tell his parents and saying, you know, well, I made this woman pregnant. It was a shame. It must have been traumatic. I heard that, but I can't remember it. It must have been disturbed me, because when I was born as a child, I was a wild baby. I was not in peace and harmony. Matter of fact, when I was about 1 or 2 years old, I would scratch myself so badly, rip myself, that every night they had to have bandages around my hands so I would not claw myself. I was an unhappy child. I had problems as a growing up, and I couldn't understand. I could be nice and loving, and the next moment I could be just a destructive human being. For no reason at all. Sometimes I would go down to my grandmother, and they had a fireplace there, and I would take things in a place and just throw it in the fireplace and laugh. Destructive, I started fires. I did all kinds of things. And I had a problem. Kindergarten? I didn't go to kindergarten, but in school, first, second grade, and so on up. Always had problems. And I didn't realize that my soul had been damaged. My dad and his brother fought. There was fights in the family. It was all kind of negative things. And I did not have a happy childhood. I did not have a peaceful childhood. I remember hearing about divorce. And I was probably about 12 years old, and my brother was 5 years younger. And we heard about a neighbor down the street that had divorced. And one day, my mom and dad were home. We just simply said, "Mom and Dad want to talk to you." And this is what I told him. I said, "Now, if you divorce, we will kill you. Don't even think it. We will kill you if you divorce." We were serious. We didn't want that. The soul is very sensitive. So you get married, and you expect lots of love from the wife. And you know, if the wife is wounded, she cannot give it. And if a man is disturbed, he cannot be a loving man and caring man that would take care of that wife. So what happened is that the two would simply hurt each other more and create more damages. Because they do not know why they are angry. They do not know why we have problems. Turn to Luke chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read what Jesus said. That's Luke chapter 4. Have you picked it up in verse number 14? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened unto him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is a scripture fulfilled in your ears." Let's go back to verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to heal the brokenhearted." Now, I have read this verse probably for the last 40 years. I read it over and over again. And I did not know that I had a broken heart. I did not know that. I did not know that I had a broken heart. Here's how God is working. My brother Pete and his wife were in Sweden last year. And they brought with them some books. And there was a Swedish book that came back. And it was simply called To Be Set Free, to have freedom. It laid at the office there for 2-3 months. And one day I walked in, and I saw that book laying on top of a stack, and I said, "What's this?" I opened it up. I looked upon the index, and I said, "Wow, this really looks interesting." I said, I'm going to read that book. As I read that book, the woman that wrote the book lost her eyesight when she was 16 years old. And she was called by God, and she has gone through a lot of different things. And she's written in this book and laid out the damages to the soul. And she gave example to example. As I read the book, my memory just flashed. That happened to me when I was 2 years old. That happened to me when I was 3 years old. And I just sat there, and my life, as I read the book through, I got incident after incident. And I realized I had wounds in my soul. And they had simply formed me, and they had molded me in such a way that I had certain things I did because they wounds. I started to pray. As soon as I found something, I just laid the book down and said, dear God, I want to take care of this. And I began to pray. And I got such a relief inside. It is incredible. Let's look upon the damages for the time in the womb. These are damages. The mother declares that she's upset because I'm pregnant again. Number two, the father expresses displeasure with the pregnancy. He says, I don't like this. You got pregnant again. What's wrong with you? I thought you took care of this. Discussion ensues if the baby should be killed. There are many parents that do that, young people. And they discuss and says, well, should we kill the baby or should we have the baby? And so the discussion goes on. The soul picks that up, creates tremendous damage. Then there are fights between the mother and the father. I don't think there's a person here in this room today that can say, well, my mom and dad never fought. They were just angels. They were just so godly. We had parents that fought, and it hurt us. The baby is conceived out of wedlock. And then we have trauma through accidents. There can be different things that happen to the child. It can be a car accident. It can be a fire. It can be a number of different things. It's a trauma. There can be complications when you have delivery of a baby. And then you have curses spoken by doctors, nurses, siblings, or relatives. All these wounds are impossible for a child to remember as he grows older. But the wounds in the soul will have a deep impact upon the attitude of the child. I realized now that my attitude as a child came from wounds when I was still in my mother's womb. There are emotional wounds of the soul, but the above traumas will also bring in an arrested development spirit that will plague the person for the rest of his life. I would say this, that probably 99% of all people living today have an arrested development spirit. You might not know it. The wars, the television, the traumas. Look what I wrote in the box. An arrested development spirit can be very deceiving, since they manifest themselves in different states of severity. A mild arrested development spirit can do more damage than a severe one, since it is hard to detect and to cast out. Now, if you got a person that has a mild arrested development spirit, they might be emotionally crippled, but they can hide it. And then you have those people that are so disturbed that it shows up. It's easy to detect. If you have not addressed an arrested development spirit in you, you owe it to yourself to check that out. Because I will say this, the habits you have that are not good is caused by soul damage. Let's look upon some of the manifestation of damage from the womb. This is what you have when a child is damaged in the womb. A low immune system and a child is often sick. Rebellion with anger. You ever seen babies rebelling? They don't have the strength to do a lot of damage, but man, are they mad. Inability to get along with other children. Difficulty in learning to speak and to read. Short attention span. Always restless, looking for new things. Doing poorly in school. If you recognize that you had one of these when you were growing up, then be smart enough to simply say, well, I'm going to take that to God. I'm going to pray about that. I'm not just going to let that go. I'm going to deal with it. If you got any phobia of any kind, you're scared of water, you're scared of snakes, rats, speaking, whatever it is, you have a phobia of, that is soul damage. It's like cancer. Don't keep it. Get healed. Let's look now upon damages during childhood. This will do tremendous damage. Parents are divorcing. Parents using drugs. Parents getting arrested. Now, that's dramatic for a child to see dad hold off or mom hold off in handcuffs. Father and mother in prison. Fights between parents, bullying in school, watching ungodly television and movies, listening to bad music, being sexually abused, verbal abuse, pornography, sexual activities, drugs. These are damages from childhood. 3 years and up. Look upon a manifestation now. Low self-esteem. Now, if you recognize one of these in you, don't feel bad and say, well, wow, you know. Just simply say, thank God that this is discovered. Now, if you've got termites in your house, you want the termites to be discovered, the earlier the better. Leave them alone and they would eat your house. If you have low self-esteem, simply say, God, this is not from you. This is not a gift from God. This is a gift from the devil. How did I get it? I want to find out. Then you have anorexia or bulimia. Very common today. You see these people, skinnier than skinny, still, you know, cannot eat. Sexual immorality. Teenagers, you starting off, matter of fact, children starting off. Smoking, drinking, and getting into drugs. Dropping out of school. Getting into gang activity. Becoming a homosexual. Homosexuals have soul damages. Obsessed with pornography. I've had people, if you try to help, they don't want to have sex with a woman. They're into pornography. They're simply so engrossed in that it is a sickness. Dating and having sex out of marriage. Suicide attempts. I remember when I was about 15 years old, did I try to commit suicide? I was at my little moped running around. We souped it up. And as I was driving around on roads, a thought came in my mind. When I come up to a bridge, hey, just hit that railing. Had thoughts about jumping into water. Where did it come from? Soul damages. This last week, there was a class, high school class, at Golden Gate Bridge here in San Francisco. And as a class, about 25, 30 young people walked out, one of the boys simply suddenly leaped up and jumped right over the railing and jumped down and hit the water. He survived. And they don't know why he did it. Some said he did it to draw attention to himself. But I want to tell you this. Many of you have thought about killing yourself. Dying. Get it over with. Where are these thoughts coming from? They're not from God. They're from the devil. He wants to take you out. Running away. You know, when I was a teenager, getting college, I was so messed up, had failed so bitterly, that my thinking was to join the French Foreign Legion. Just to get away. This was when I had a fighting in Vietnam in the late 50s. And I dreamt about just taking a train and go to France, sign up, lose my identity and just be a fighter and die. Had no hope. Rebellion. Most of you have rebelled. Different degrees. Some of you are still rebelling today. Where does it come from? Damages in your soul. Dealing with soul damages. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And the first step to be healed is to be born again. To be saved. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, do we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When I got saved, I had some healing in my body. In my soul. I got peace. I got joy. But there were damages that were never healed. And I never could figure out why I was feeling different. Now here's how it happens to us. You walk into a church building. And of course we are dressed up on Sunday morning. And we smell nice. We smile. Hallelujah, glory to God. And you look at people around you and you say, they don't have any problems. And you says, I wonder why I have problems. Well, let me give you good news here today. All of us in here got personal problems. Every single one of us, we got issues. The question is how we deal with it. And for probably 20 years, I felt like I was an outcast. I had wicked thoughts. I had all kind of stuff happening inside of me. And I was even preaching and preaching. And then suddenly had weird stuff going on in my head. And I thought, you know, I got to subdue that. I'm the only one having that. Until I found out what demons can do to you. And I'm not the only one having it. Just identifying the problem is step number one to recovery. Now I want us to do a fruit inspection here this morning. This is a fruit inspection. And you don't have to raise your hands, but you talk to yourself right now. If you have any one of these, now you have a soul damage. Shame. Are you ashamed? Condemnation. Depression. Confusion. Fear, anxiety, self-hate, self-rejection, self-pity, suicide thoughts, you cast down, envy, jealousy, suspicion, revenge, uncontrolled anger, restless. Are you California flake? Manipulation, control. Lying, theft, discouragement, all kinds of sicknesses. If you have any of these, or maybe several of these, in your life right now, that indicates that you have a soul damage that has not been dealt with. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 now. That's Galatians, the 5th chapter. And we pick it up in verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, out of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall inherit the kingdom of God. These are the fruits of the devil. Now, all of us here are very nice here this morning. If you're watching us, you're nice sitting there in your chair. You got your Bible open. And you're going hallelujah once in a while, praise God. But you know, the rubber hits the road when you come home. Monday morning, when you're away from home, how do you behave? Do you behave like Christ is living in you? Or do you behave like the devil is living in you? Once you have diagnosed your damages, talk to God about them. And then take the following steps. Ask God to forgive you for each incident for which you are responsible. Now what I did is I read that book. And by the way, we are going to have it in English. It's going to be available here for you to buy from us eventually. And you can do what I did. Minister yourself. Secondly, you got to forgive the people that wounded you. That's important. You have to forgive the people that wounded you. You cannot carry grudges. And thirdly, you got to release the people that wounded you and break all the curses. You got to release them. And say, in the name of Jesus, I release you. You are forgiven. Fourthly, renounce all the practices for which you are responsible. Fifthly, command any demons that are afflicting you in these areas to be sent to prison by God's angels. Sixth, take responsibility for your own life and stop blaming others. That's important. Stop blaming others. I cannot blame my mom and dad for what they did. They did what they did, but I sure have added on my own pile. And seven, make a decision to succeed in the areas in which you have previously been hindered. Now, I was a liar up to a maximum. I was a thief. We learned to steal early. My parents taught us that. They worked at a factory, and they said, "Oh, this factory's ripping us off. They're not paying us enough. You know, we should steal from them, take back what belongs to us." That I grew up like that. If I visited somebody's home, if I can get something, I just stole it. I had no cons. I did a lot of bad things. I was cussing. I decided this some years ago, to have God rebuild me. I pride myself today in telling the truth. I will not lie. I pride myself in not stealing. And there have been times I've been to a store, I got too many items, I come out late to the car, find out I got too many items, I go back to the store and say, "Hey, I didn't pay for this." I pride myself. What you need to do is to simply say this: I'm going to ask God to rebuild me. A thief is a terrible person. You know why? You can't trust a thief. Now, you might be a thief yourself, but you don't like somebody to come in your house and steal from you. Rotten guy stealing from me, but you're a thief yourself. If you lie, you don't want people to lie to you. Lying destroys the fabric of life. You need to start taking control of your attitude and start praising God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 5. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 5. And by the way, we have the book, Christian Dynamics. Book number one, if you haven't had deliverance, and you're saying that I'm interested in this subject, we have books available at the bookstore today. You can pick one up, and you can learn some more. 1 Corinthians 10, 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be you idolaters, as with some of them, as is written, that people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured, and we destroy the destroyer. What does it mean to murmur? Murmuring means complaining. "I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, this is bad." God hates that. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You got to make a decision. I am no longer going to be depressed. I am no longer going to be negative. I'm going to begin to praise God. I'm going to begin to praise Him for what He is. As I read that book, and I realized that my depression, my negative thinking, came from my childhood. Damages to my soul. I did not know they were there. I did not know why I reacted like I reacted. And I simply decided, this is it. This is the end. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to live on Murmuring Street anymore. I'm going to move to Praise Street number 2005. That's what I'm going to live. Now, some of you have gone through deliverance. And deliverance is not a one-time cure. It is simply like you clean out the termites, and then afterwards comes the hard work. And the most difficult thing we have is for husband and wives to get along after deliverance. The wife would simply say to the husband, well, you've been through deliverance, now you're supposed to be perfect. And he looks at her and says, well, what's wrong with you, woman? You went through deliverance too, but you're not too good either. Now, if they don't stop right there, they end up in a sandbox, throwing sand at each other, then ticking up their toys. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to play my toys anymore. We got to recognize this, that there are soul damages. Get the statement. If you don't have it, you can't give it. I'm not that musically inclined. If you would simply say this, Pastor John, sit down and play something for us. I can make that piano noisy, but I can't play for you. I cannot give you something I don't have. And unto your heel, you cannot give unconditional love. You don't have it. Have patience. Allow each other to grow. And love each other. So take control of your attitude and start praising God. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7. That's Hebrews chapter 3. And you pick it up in verse number 7. Now, ruin your afternoon. When you're going to have your lunch now afternoon, you're going to say, I don't like that. Man, he talked about my problems. Well, praise God, you had them before you came here. We just pointed them out. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing for the living God. If you got a soul damage, it will create friction in you. You will not be able to really worship. Listen closely to me now. If you got a soul damage, you will not be able to really worship the Lord, privately or corporately. There's something in you that's eating you, and that needs to go. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our covenant, step to the end. What is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. I want you to think today. If there are some things that you recognize, I got some kinks in my life. Maybe no one else knows about it, but you know. Instead of just moving on, stop and say, I can be healed. Number one, I need to identify the problem. Number two, I need to repent of it if it's your fault. I need to renounce it. I need to clean it out. And I need the healing from God. If you don't take those steps, you won't get it. And you continue in your same way of living. Verse 16. For some, when they had heard it, provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that it should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see then, they could not enter in because of unbelief. My soul damage caused unbelief. And here's how it caused it. I prayed for many people that have been healed. Cancer, arthritis, diabetes, you name it, they got healed. I prayed for other people to be blessed. But I felt this. God can. But maybe God will not work in my life. And that's what hindered God from doing some things in my life. Because I felt, I know he can. But does he love me enough that he wants to do it? If you today have realized that you got soul damages, be smart. And simply say, I'm going to take this sermon home. I'm going to reread this. I'm going to pick up the Bible, read the passages. I'm going to get a Christian Dynamics course number one. And I'm going to go through that. You might be 95 years old. You might be 17 years old. It makes no difference. I was 71 years old when I finally finished my last damages to my soul. It took me 45 years of Christian walking to come to that place. I'm giving you a shortcut. The question is, if you're going to take it or not. Don't blow this off. Don't suspend. You know, I don't know if I believe it or not. If you have personal difficulties, simply say, God, I want to be healed. I don't want to have this anymore. Don't you want to have abundant life? Don't you want to be well? Don't you want to be able to rejoice and dance and have a good time? Well, go to God then. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, Lord, it is humbling to have to confess that I've been saved more than 45 years. I'm still learning. I'm not there yet, Lord. I'm sure there's more things that you will show me the days to come. But I pray right now, Father God, that people will simply sit down and think. They will stop and think and say, Dear Jesus, if I don't have to suffer, help me. I don't want to suffer anymore. I want to live victoriously. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for touching men and women right now, here in this building, around the world, those that are watching us, and in time to come when people watch videos for the years. Set your people free, Lord. Let them feel right now that you love them. Let them feel your love, that they dare to come to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We can have the elders and deaconesses come here right now. And if you're in this congregation, and you say, well, I don't know if I have this or not, but I have some things that I need to pray over. Take this opportunity and come forward and be anointed with oil. If you're watching us, call us later on and someone will talk to you. But most of all, talk to God right now and say, My Heavenly Father, forgive me, heal me, touch me right now. And He will. The altars have opened. Jesus is here. Come and don't let this opportunity go by waste.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled, Wounds That Hurt Your Soul. It has been said that attitude is everything, but what creates an attitude in a human being? Pastor John has been casting out demons for 40 years and initially thought that would end the problem for the person. But eventually he realized that even though the demons were gone, a wounded soul will still negatively affect the attitude and thoughts of a person. Damage to a soul can occur in the womb and throughout your life. Pastor John addresses the resulting harmful manifestations and the biblical solution to healing your emotional wounds and traumas. When your soul is restored, you will have a more abundant life and your attitude will be great. Praise the Lord. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1281. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.